In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every knee will bow, every tongue confess. One of these days, everybody's gonna say it.
They're gonna know it.
And they're gonna know it is right. God is good, amen? We are going to continue with our sermon series about community today. And last week, we did a sermon called Jesus and Kidney Stones. And today, we're going to talk about when Jesus breaks a leg. Now, before anybody thinks that I don't know my Bible and stuff, I know that Jesus never broke a bone in his body. So I'm not talking about Jesus breaking his leg. I'm talking about him breaking yours. And you're going to get it in just a second. I've kind of tailored the message around some of my personal experiences. If you've been around our church very long, you've heard this story at least once, I'm sure. But when I was 17 years old, I was very active in a group called Teens for Christ. I sang in one of their music groups. They did rallies every Saturday night. We sang at the rallies. There would probably be 200 to 300 teenagers at these rallies in Wichita, and we did it at various high schools, and we were trying to be Jesus to, you know, to the kids, and we were kids ourselves. And one of the things that we got the opportunity to do by being in those groups is we got to go on a 2 to 3 week tour and go to different churches all around the state of Kansas, Missouri, to different churches each night and sing. And it was really fun, give concerts and stuff. And the second year I was in the group, we had this trip all set out when we all met in Augusta. Parents brought us there. We got on a bus and we took off. And we stayed the night at somebody's house. We got ready to leave on Augusta on the first morning, and the battery was dead on the bus. So we had jumped the bus, went to the next place, had that concert, stayed the night there. Next morning, the bus was dead again. Jump started the bus. The third morning, got back to the place. Again, the bus battery was dead. I asked the people that I stayed with, I said, can we use your car to jump the bus? And they said, sure, no problem. So I hooked the bus up like I had the previous 2 days. And we jump-started the bus and got it started. I went between the two vehicles, and the guy that was driving the bus let the clutch out on the bus, and it was not in neutral. And it smashed my legs. We were in Kansas City. The ambulance came. I went to KU Medical Center that next morning. My parents came and got me, took me back to Wichita, put me in the hospital there for the rest of my time. Because, you know, I was this great Christian and everything. They brought all my stuff that I wanted. They brought my Bible, my devotional books. The problem was I was raised in a Christian home, and I knew how to look like a Christian and kind of live like a Christian, but I wasn't. And looking back on it, I know why God said, you don't need to be on that tour. You're not living your life right. You need to be gone. So I'm sitting there in the hospital, laying there in the hospital, and back then we had three channels, NBC, ABC, you know, CBS, and there was nothing on television. And so as the last resort, I grabbed the devotional book that somebody had given me at some point that my parents brought me, and I'm just going to read something. I open the book, and I tell you this is God's honest truth. The title of the devotion was, Maybe You Need a Broken Leg. And traditionally, it's believed that shepherds, when they have sheep that like to wander and go off and do their own thing, they will break the leg of the sheep, and then they will have to carry the sheep, and that sheep will have to stick around them and the flock until it's healed up. And most of the time, in the time that they've had to spend around the shepherd and the flock, they're in the habit then of staying around the shepherd and being a part of the flock. And I needed a broken leg to remind me that I needed to be a part of the church, just not somebody who knew about God, but somebody who have a relationship with God. And I would love to tell you that after that experience, I was the best Christian ever and I never had any other problems, but that's not true. I still strayed. But at the age of 22, I really got it. And God really, really saved me and really set me apart. And I was called to be a pastor when I was 17. And I told God no. And I didn't want to do it. And 17 years later, he called me again. And I said, okay. And went back to school and I became your pastor. But I think that understanding that God loves us enough sometimes to do things in our lives to make us focus on him and pay attention to our relationship with God is going to happen. And unless we are extremely diligent and extremely careful not to stray away and not to go do our own things at different times, he's going to do what it takes to kind of get us back in line. And sometimes it's enough just to tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, you need to get back straight. You're veering off. And sometimes he has to take a 2x4 and slap us upside the head and really get our attention to help us understand that our relationship with God is the most important thing in our lives. And our third most important priority in our lives, honestly, needs to be our church. I think our God comes first, our family comes second, but then our church needs to be right up there on the list so that we can really be a part of what God has put together and wants us to be. And so that's why we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10 this morning. Let's stand as we read our Bible. This is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I'll put its principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 10 starts out like this. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for the church that you created, that you made Jesus the head of, and that you have allowed us to be a part of. I pray that we will understand its importance, not only to our personal lives, but to the world in which we live, that we are the light that can lead people to a relationship with you. Those that don't know you, those that are following something else, Father, help them to see who you really are. And as we, the church, try to be as unified as possible, help us to be able to shine your light wherever we go and in whatever we do. I ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to think about unity this morning and what that really means and how it's going to affect the church in which we are a part of. In that verse that's up on the screen, it says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord, that you all agree with one another in what you say and that there be no divisions among you. I wish there was an apostrophe there, not because I think it really needs it, but just for us in our facetiousness to say we are never going to agree on everything. Okay? But there are things that we do need to agree on. It wasn't very long after the church was created in the first century that a group of church leaders got together and they said, we need to make sure that we all are preaching the same gospel, that we're all telling the same truths, that we all understand the same things about who we're preaching about. And as they gathered all the letters and all the books of the Old Testament together, they came up with a belief system. And that belief system, they put in words and in writing for us. And so I want us to recite together this morning the Apostles' Creed. And so the Apostles' Creed says, I believe in God the Father Almighty. You can repeat this with me. The Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty, from whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. That is what we believe. That is the basic tenets of our faith. The apostrophe by Catholic. Catholic means universal. It is not the Roman Catholic Church. It is the Holy Catholic Church. What does holy mean? Holy means set apart. We believe in a church that God has set apart. Just like He set apart the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, He sets the church apart. We are His instrument to show the world who Jesus is and what He can do for each one of us. And so if it's important enough, and if it was important enough for the church fathers in the third century to get together and say, we need to be unified in our beliefs, I think we need to be of one mind as a church. And as a local church, we need to be united. And as the church universal, we need to be united. Nothing has hurt our cause more. And I don't mean this when I say this in a bad way. But nothing has hurt our cause or our churches more than the divisions, the denominations that continually bicker about little things that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. If we all accept the truth that if we believe in Jesus, we have everlasting life. I mean, John 3:16 says, God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes, puts their faith and trust in Jesus, will not perish but have everlasting life. Everything else is a bonus. And everything else is, okay, now we figure out how to live now that we've put our faith and trust in Jesus. And we can do that. But we have to determine to agree with one another. And to be a community that is going to be inviting, to be a church that people are going to want to be a part of, they need to see unity there. So we need to be able to agree with each other. And your first blank is about spiritual things. Okay? You may like Fords, I may like Chevys. Who cares? That doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. But we all need to believe that God's the Father, Jesus is the Son, the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. They're three in one. They're like an egg. You have an eggshell, you have an egg yolk, you have an egg white. It's an egg. They're three. It's God. It's a mystery how it all fits together. Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. He had to leave heaven so that he could come down and die for us. He had to go back to heaven so the Holy Spirit could come down and indwell us and help us every day that we live. And so those are things that we believe, and we have to believe those things. Paul says, let there be no divisions among you. Don't let anything divide you. I can't tell you how many churches have split over some of the, I don't like to use the word stupid, and a lot of stuff isn't stupid, but moles that have become mountains, that if they were just dealt with quickly, it would not have torn the church apart. I ask you, and I'm sincere when I say this, if you ever have a problem with something that goes on at our church, come and talk to me. Even if it's about me, bring somebody else with you and confront me, whatever you have to. I want to be as faithful to God's word as I can. If you've got a question about something I say on Sunday morning, talk to me about it. If you don't like the way we're doing something, talk to me about it. Don't let Satan use it to start to divide us. Don't let Satan win. We have to be able to agree with each other. If we're going to do that, if we're really going to make this happen, if we're going to be in agreement, if we're going to talk about spiritual things, we need to learn about spiritual things. We need to have fellowship. So we need to spend time together. I hope that at some point we have so much going on in our church. Our church grows to the site. I was thinking this morning as I'm looking around, you know, everybody's not here and a few people have had to leave early because of some stuff they had going on. But we're far cry bigger than the 25 people that started on September 18th of 2021. God is really blessing our church. And as we grow, I want there to be more opportunities for fellowship. And I want there to be more opportunities to study God's word together. We need to make sure we make the fellowship a priority in our lives. You may not like everything that goes on. You don't have to come to everything, but don't forsake the fellowship. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't stop meeting together. You need each other. I need you. You need me. None of us are that important, but we need each other if we're really going to be the family of God. We're going to use an old saying, says the church that grows together stays together, you know, or grows bigger together. I don't care what you want to put. But we not only want times of fun, but we want times of discipleship where we learn more about who God is, so that when somebody that you work with asks you a question about why you have the faith that you have, how you keep it together when you got a cancer diagnosis or you found out that something was, your marriage was falling apart. I mean, I don't know how, but people are going to be looking at you and they're going to be going, how do you maintain when your world starts crumbling? And if you say, I don't know, I really just try my best. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? That's what they're trying. And it's not working. And it's not that you're trying your best. It's that you got God on your side. And he's here to help you. We need to learn how to express that, how to tell other people about that. And we really need to make it a serious thing to be aware of strain from the fellowship, from strain from the church. When you were supposed to be making fellowship a priority, when you start to notice that you're not in church as much as you used to be, you really need to take a step back and go, okay, what's changed? What's going on? You need to be going to church. A church that you feel like you're getting fed. Sometimes things happen. People have to change churches. I get it. I know how that works. But you don't stray from the church universal. Okay? You don't stray from the Holy Catholic Church. You need to belong to a fellowship. Because the more you're away, the easier it is to stay away. And being together we stay strong. If you get to know people in this room as your friends, as your brother or your sister, again, back when I used to go to church when I was a kid, it was Brother Brian and Sister Brian, and it was Brother Ming and Sister Ming. I never knew any of the people that I, none of the adults that I went to church with when I was a kid, I didn't know their first name. I knew their last name because there was a song by Bill Gaither, and it was called The Family of God, and it said, you may notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a part of the family and the folks are so dear. That's who we are. Our community of believers is important. Your application this morning is pretty simple. Church is not perfect, but it is what God says we're to be. And so you may say, well, I don't like the church because there's people there that are hypocrites. Get used to it. You may say, well, that's not a very good church. I don't like some of the people. I guarantee if you go to the new church down the street, you're not going to like everybody there either. There will always be personal conflicts. There will always be stuff that tries to divide us, tries to keep us apart. But through the help of the Holy Spirit, we can be the church. And we can bring people to Jesus, and we can show people how to live their lives for Him when they do. That's what I want. That's my vision for our church. I want our church to have an influence in our community so that when people pass our church, they say, I've heard good things about that place. It's kind of funny. We had a lady drop into our church on Friday night. She has seen our building. She's heard about some stuff that's going on at our church. Her and her husband pastor another church, but she was like, I know your church is relatively new. I just want to see what the building looks like. But what she saw was she saw a group of people in fellowship, having fun, playing cornhole and eating chili. What better thing can you find than a place where people that like each other, love each other, care for and support one another? We do it because we believe that God says, be the church. Let's stand this morning. Father, I thank you today. I pray that you would just help us to be the church. Help us to do those things that would bring glory to your name, that would bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.